Good morning, everyone. Last week, we talked about it's all God. And I know that you know that. And this week, I want to talk about it's our choice. And I've had people disagree with me on this. I believe in the sovereignty of God, the sovereign will of God. He's all powerful. He can do as he pleases, with whom he pleases. But I also believe in free will. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And this goes hand in hand with what we talked about last week. The text is out of Romans 6, verses 1 through 4. Paul says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Father, I thank you for your word. I know that it's truth. I thank you that you left it here for us to read, Lord, to better understand you, to better understand sin, to better understand righteousness and the relationship that we can have with you through Jesus Christ. I ask your blessing on all who are here today. I ask that you will take this word to our hearts. Cause us to examine ourselves, as Paul said, to see if we are truly living in the faith. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen." As I said last week, we talked about it's all God because some of the people in the church were teaching that you had to be circumcised and obey the law of Moses and believe in Jesus to be saved. And Paul pointed out, no, salvation is all God. Now, the problem is sin. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden and ate the fruit they weren't supposed to eat, Paul says sin and death entered the world. And then early in Genesis, I believe it's in chapter 6, it says men began to call on the name of the Lord. They began to seek after God, but the problem was sin. And the law could not cleanse us of sin. All it did was point out our sin. And Paul said the law made sin exceeding sinful, and that's why God gave it, so we would understand our sinfulness, but it couldn't save us. So God had a plan in order to save you and I. And it's all God. That's what I talked about last week. But today I want to talk about our choice in the matter. And I've had people get angry at me over the years when I speak about our choice because they think I'm talking about work salvation, but I'm not. Paul closed chapter 5 when he said, "Now the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I read that to you because this is going to make more sense, the question Paul asked the church. You see, there were some in the church that took what Paul was teaching and saying, "Oh, then it doesn't matter how we live if we're not under the law." And Paul said, without the law, sin's not counted against us. So if sin's not counted against us and we're not under the law, it doesn't matter how we live. And it's sad, but I've talked to professed Christians today that believe that. The attitude is, well, the more I sin, the more God's grace increases. Because it's that grace, you know, that is saved. Amen, we were saved by grace. But Paul does an excellent job of explaining to the church in this sixth chapter, actually 6 and 7. We're going to cover most of chapter 6 today. We're going to touch on it. But he does a good job in explaining, yes, we're saved by grace, but no, you cannot live any way you want to. You know what happens at salvation? I'm getting towards the end of the message, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. We change masters. Did you know that? I've heard people, and I was guilty saying it when I was a young man and thought I had the robot tail. I do what I want to do. Nobody tells me what to do. You know what the Bible says? You're either a slave of sin or you're a slave of God's. Yeah. Now, F.F. Bruce said that he preferred the word servant to slave. Slave has a negative connotation to us. We think of people in chains and bound, and sin does chain us. Sin enslaves us. Jesus said, whoever sins is a slave or a servant of sin. We can think of a lot of different reasons why we sin. Well, I'm Irish. That's why I got a bad temper. You know, I'm prone to a large appetite. You know, I've never had anybody talk about gluttony to me when I was weighing 330 pounds. But boy, they talked to me about tobacco. I shouldn't smoke them cigarettes. That's a sin. But you can have that gut hanging way over there. And I had a triple bypass because I did overeat and cholesterol buildup and the whole nine. Nobody ever rebuked me about overeating. They wanted to get on to me about my tobacco, which I don't use anymore. Praise God. That's all God. Yeah. But Jesus said, if you sin, you're a servant of sin. He said, the servant doesn't live in the house forever, but the son does. So if the son makes you free, you're free. Why are there people to this day in the church teaching you have to sin in word, thought, and deed? You can't help it. You're just a sinner. You have a nature of sin. You're going to sin. You might as well accept that fact. You just called Jesus a liar. Jesus said you sin because you're a slave. I came to set you free. But you know what? That doesn't mean that you and I are free to do as we please. We change masters. Yeah. Bob Dylan. Some of you might not say, who? Bob Dylan, he came to Christ. He wrote Blown in the Wind, the 60s. I loved his music, his poetry. But he wrote a song after he came to Christ, and he said, you got to serve somebody. It might be the devil, or it might be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. Christian, that's the position that we're in. But see, Jesus Christ made all things new. That's what Paul's teaching. That's what he's trying to tell the church. So he begins by asking a question that he knew was on the minds of people in the church. And as I said, there were teachers in the church saying, well, we're not under the law anymore. So since God doesn't count sin against you, it doesn't matter how you live. And I've heard that come out of Christians' mouth. And I'm sorry to say, some preachers. Not maybe exactly like that, but I mean, that's the implication they give. Paul said, what are we going to say then? Since we're not under the law, but we're under grace, are we going to continue to sin? What was his answer? No. The Greek's very strong here. Paul says, God forbid. Another translation, according to one commentary, said, may it never be so. Now remember, Paul had people in the church were telling and teaching, yeah, you're going to sin. Just go ahead and sin. It won't be counted against you. But Paul said, wait a minute. We should not continue in sin just because we're under grace. He said, don't you know that when you were baptized into Jesus Christ, you were baptized into his death? I like what the Greek says. Are you ignorant? I like that. I don't think Paul was a take the long way around the barn kind of a preacher. I don't think Paul was. I think Paul, you know, he just said, are you ignorant? He didn't say, are you stupid? There's a difference. I'm ignorant of algebra, blissfully ignorant. I don't want to know anything about algebra. I'm ignorant, but I'm not stupid. And Paul wasn't saying to the church, are you stupid? He's saying, are you ignorant? Don't you understand? That's what he's saying. Do you not understand what happened to you when you were baptized into Christ, when you came to join Christ? Paul said, you died to sin. Just like Jesus died to sin once. Is Jesus going to die again? No. Jesus said to John in Revelation, I'm the one who was alive and was dead, and I'm alive forever. Death no more has dominion over him. He cannot die again. And think about this. This is what Paul's saying to us. Don't you understand that you died with Christ? That's why we immerse when we baptize. Paul points out it signifies that we are buried just like Christ was. They put Christ in a tomb at Golgotha. They crucified Christ on a cross. Paul said, when you enter into that baptismal covenant with Jesus Christ, you've been crucified. The old man was nailed to that cross, just like Jesus. The old man was laid in that tomb, just like Jesus. But the problem we have is we don't want to leave him lay. Now, I'm telling you the truth. I'm speaking from my experience. We don't want to leave that old dog lay. We want to hunt with that old dog once in a while, because we enjoy our sin. Paul is dealing with a group of believers. I remember one lady I worked with on the ambulance said, well, Paul was talking about sinners in this one text. I said, wait a minute, was the text written to sinners? Did he write the letter to sinners? Well, no, it was written to the church. I said, oh. So he was saying, now this doesn't apply to you, church. This applies to the sinners over here. No, that's not what Paul was doing. He was talking to the sanctified believers in Jesus Christ who he knew would be tempted to sin. Now that we can't escape, church. Jesus said temptations are going to come. But you have a choice. I have a choice. I wish somebody would have told me this when I was a Christian, instead of well-meaning but misinformed people telling me, well, brother, you just have to sin and work thought. Indeed, there's nothing you can do about that. And I struggled and I fought and I fell and I struggled and I fought and I fell. And I reached a point I almost quit. I thought, well, this just isn't working for me. And I had some of the people say, well, no, that's God's sovereign will. Maybe you were never saved in the first place. And, oh, good night. Now, that talk doesn't bother me anymore, because I am comfortable with who I am in Jesus Christ. Yeah. You're not the one that saved me. He is. So you can have your opinions, but I know who saved me. Okay? But I wish somebody would have told me 40 years ago, Rick, it's your choice. See, Paul said when you were buried with Christ in baptism, you died on that cross with Jesus Christ. I've read commentary say, well, now this is figurative. No, it's not. It's literal. Paul doesn't present this figuratively. He's not using figures of speech, metaphors, whatever you want to call them. Paul's saying, this is what happened. When you joined yourself to Christ, when you were baptized into Christ, you died. Thank God that vile man that I was died. He doesn't live anymore. Paul understood that in his own life when he told Peter, I am crucified with Christ. I live, but I don't live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. Yeah. Paul had to kind of correct Peter about something. He said, look, Peter, I died with Christ. And I'm alive, but it isn't me, it's Christ in me. Do you know that's the truth for you, Christian, if you've accepted Christ? That old person's dead. Jesus Christ paid the penalty on the cross. That's what we just celebrated here. He gave his blood so you and I could be forgiven. And they put him in a tomb, and God raised him again on the third day. And when you and I are baptized into Christ, when we come up out of that water, God promises us a new life. The old person's dead. It's all God. That's still all God. And you can sit there and argue and say, well, wait a minute, that's still all God. Yes, it is. Well, then what's our choice? We're going to get to that. If you quit asking so many questions, we'll get out of here quicker. Now, this teaching of Paul's did create a problem in the church for some. And I've learned in 27 years of ministry, you're always going to have some in the church that's going to create problems. I'm sorry. They think they got it all figured out. They're going to be the first ones to go up in the rapture. You know, they're just a little holier than everybody else, and we got all this figured out, and they don't have a clue. Because they're not reading the Word. You know, the Bible is still the best-selling book in the United States, and Brother Wayne mentioned a lot of young people now are buying Bibles, but it's still one of the least read. People buy it for prestige. Put my big King James Bible out on the dinner table, on the coffee table, on my end table, so people can see, hey, he's got a Bible. How does it change your life? Do you believe what it says? Have you come to Christ? Do you understand? If you've come to Christ, if you've been baptized into Christ, Paul said, did you know that you died? It's what Jesus called being born again, born from above. Unless a person is born of water and of the Spirit, they shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And I read commentaries that said, well, Jesus wasn't talking about baptism. Well, then what water was he talking about? Amniotic fluid? Because everybody comes into the world that way. That's not what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about the waters of baptism. Peter said, even now, baptism saves us. Why? The answer of a clear conscience towards God, an appeal for a clear conscience. Here's the short of it. He commands you to do it, so you need to do it. You can theorize and speculate and philosophize on why we are baptized, but the short of it is he told us to do it. Paul's explaining something to us here. He said, because when you submit to this baptism, when you come to Jesus Christ and you obey him and you submit to that, he said, you die. Thank you. I didn't like that guy. I was just a little ways from blowing my head off before I came to Christ. I told my wife I didn't know why I didn't do it because I hated life. I was miserable. Then I met Jesus Christ and he gave me a reason to live. And he said, you don't have to live this kind of life. I came to set you free. Now, do I struggle? Yep, just like anybody in this room, I still struggle. Am I still tempted? Yes, I am. But I don't have to sin. When I sin, it's because I choose to. It's because I forget sometimes what's available to me in Jesus Christ. Paul said there were people accusing him of even teaching, let us do evil that good may come. In other words, God's grace is just more abundant. And the more I sin, the more God just pours his abundant grace out on me. Paul said their condemnation is just. I think the King James says their damnation is well deserved. So don't let somebody tell you that, church. Now, God is not sitting on the throne with a baseball bat just waiting for you to sin so he can knock you between you. And I've had people accuse me of believing that. It's funny, when somebody doesn't agree with you, they'll go to the opposite extreme, the end extreme. Well, this is what you believe. No, it's not. But what's Paul saying to the church this morning and today? You don't have to sin. Jesus Christ broke those chains. Did he not? Does he do anything halfway? No. He doesn't do anything halfway. Paul said when we were baptized into Christ, we were baptized into his death. We were buried with him by baptism. And just as Christ was raised to a life by the glory of God, you and I have been raised to a new life. If anyone is in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Not Al's things. That's only half of all. All things become new. Paul says to the Christian, you're one with Christ in death. And so you're one with Christ in life. Now, you agree with me, he doesn't do anything halfway. Paul said our old self was crucified with Jesus. Our old self died. And now we live a new life in Christ. And because of what Jesus Christ did, you and I have the ability to choose not to sin. Well, what's sin? It's all in here. Every bit of it. When I was working with the youth at Nazarene Church, one of the young men came to my house one day and said, Brother Rick, I got a question to ask you. I said, well, I'll be glad to help you if I can. He said, well, he was reading these comics and these books and had a lot of witchcraft stuff. And he said, I know that, you know, the Bible speaks against witchcraft and sorcery. And I know that there's a lot of that in this book, but is it okay for me to read them? I said, what's the Holy Spirit saying? Well, I've been thinking maybe I shouldn't read them. I said, so you want me to override him? And I said, this little fat preacher doesn't do that. God's telling you not to read it. Don't read it. And don't ask me to override what God says. I said, the answer is no, son. You shouldn't be reading that. Because the temptation would be for you to get into it. He wasn't real thrilled with my answer because his mother said, I told you. Yeah. But I told him, you have a choice, son. You see, when the scriptures reveal things as sin to you and me, we have a choice to make. When the temptation comes, when we decide we're going to do something, what does the word say? What does God have to say about that? If God calls it a sin, then it's sin. And remember, we're not under that master anymore. We're not bound by sin. We were before we came to Christ. We were bound by sin. It was our master. But what Paul say, you've changed masters. He told Peter, the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, Christian, it's our choice. Salvation is all God. God did every bit of this. He sent his Son to the cross. He died for our sins because you and I couldn't pay for them. We couldn't overcome it. By the law, no one will be justified in God's sight. But what the law was powerless to do, God did. So that's all God. And you might be thinking, well, you talked about this last week. But I'm also saying it's your choice. If you chose to come to Jesus Christ, if you chose to enter into this covenant with Jesus Christ, he has empowered you to live above sin. Yeah. He broke those chains. You have a new master. See, that's what I mean. You're not free to do what you want. I've learned that. I'm 66 years old, and I know now I don't get to do what I want. I'm not my own person. I belong to Jesus Christ. He purchased me with his blood. He's my master. Yeah. And that's what Paul's trying to get across to the church. A little further in Romans 6, he says, what are we going to say? Since we're not under law, but we're under grace, are we going to sin? He knows this question is being asked in the church. He knows there's people in the church that's asking these questions. And he said, no. No, just because we're not under the law doesn't mean that we can go ahead and sin and live any way we want to, and God's abundant grace is just going to cover all that. I saw a picture once of this guy kneeling. He had a fifth of whiskey in one hand, and he had a cardboard Jesus in front of him, and he was hitting on that whiskey, and the caption said, when God looks at me, all he sees is Jesus. That's part of that teaching, that errant teaching. Now, I'm not saying it's a sin to take a drink of whiskey. The Bible says it's a sin to be drunk. But if you want to take a shot of bourbon once in a while or a beer, that's between you and the Lord. The Bible doesn't condemn that. But it does condemn drunkenness. So there's something for you. Well, as a Christian, I have a choice. Am I going to get drunk and sin against God? Same way with the drugs. Well, alcohol is a drug. I never understood that people. Drugs and alcohol. Alcohol is a drug. It's all combined together. The thing is, do I need an altered level of consciousness? I used to love to get high. I thought you had to get high to get by till I met Jesus. Being sober is a blast. Yeah. And I'm not sinning. When I stay sober, I'm not sinning. And it's Jesus Christ that did that for me. But it's my choice. I can take a drink anytime I want to. But I've said this for years. My want-to's changed. Just put it in hillbilly vernacular. My want-to's changed. I don't want to get high anymore. I don't want to get drunk anymore. I don't need to. All that pain and stuff I was dealing with from my past that I tried to soak in alcohol and smoke up my brain with weed and everything to forget, I don't have to do that anymore. That guy's dead. He died on the cross. I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ, but that doesn't mean that I can't be tempted. I've heard people say, I don't see how anybody could do that. Well, you never acquired a taste for it. I remember a guy told me, I don't see how you can smoke them nasty cigarettes. I smoked one time and got sicker than a dog. So did I, but I kept smoking because I wanted to smoke. So my body built up a tolerance and it didn't make me sick anymore. I got to a point when I drank that I didn't get sick very often because my body built up a tolerance. Paul said, you were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, but God made you alive together with Him, with Christ, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. People's asked me, well, what happened to the law? It got nailed to the cross in the body of Jesus Christ. See, God is a just and holy God. That law is just, holy, and moral. And God said, I can't just ignore this. I can't disregard it. This law has to be satisfied. Jesus Christ satisfied it. And God said, now I can nail this to the cross. And I can have grace and mercy on people. Because the law has been satisfied. The demands of the law, the legal demands of the law have been satisfied. It's been nailed to the tree. It's no longer extant. Now God's morals are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That hasn't changed. I've talked to people over the years that they act like God took a Valium or something and He's mellowed out. You know, no. Sin is sin. Sin hasn't changed. But God in His mercy and His grace said, I'm going to take this law out of the way because I want you to be saved. But you can't be saved by this, but I want you to be saved. So I'm going to do it all. But it's your choice whether you're going to accept that and walk. What did Paul say about the sins of the flesh, the sins of the body? He said, if you will walk in the Holy Spirit, you won't fulfill those desires. That's another plus. We've been given the Spirit of Christ. You ever been in a situation and have a scripture come to your mind that you know you didn't memorize? A passage of scripture come into your mind and you're like, where'd that come from? That's the Holy Spirit. God said in this covenant, I'll write my laws in your hearts and in your mind. Now, do I have to memorize all the Ten Commandments and all these other? No. Jesus said it's summed up in two things and it keeps the whole law. That applies to you and I today. It's called the law of love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and you'll love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law we're under, Christians. Yeah. I mean, that shortens it. That sums it up. It simplifies it for people like me. But it doesn't get any more real to me, convicting to understand that God says, I want you to love me, but I want you to love other people. That includes my wife. Yeah, I don't mean that bad against my wife, but there are some times, you know, I love my wife, but I don't like her very much when she does something. And then I got to stop, remember, that's God's daughter. And I know how I am about how men treat my daughters, so I better watch that because that's His daughter. Okay. Should have spanked her more, God. I don't know. Sometimes she says and does things. Sorry, I got chasing a rabbit again. I told her a while back, you know, we've been married 45 years this December. I never stuck with anything that long. So that's doing something. And I said, you know, I took you for better or worse, but I'm still waiting for the better. Yeah, that's how I feel sometimes. Honey, I'm still waiting for the better, but I'm sure she feels the same way about me. But I'm not the man she married 45 years ago. And talking about loving others as I love myself, that includes her. Paul said, as you once presented yourselves and your members, your body, as instruments of sin to unrighteousness, now present yourselves to God. See, it's our choice. Paul said, you have a choice. He said, do you understand that if you want to present yourselves to sin, you can do that and it can become your master again? And he said, you know what the end result of that is death. I guess Paul didn't know once saved, always saved. You know, once in grace, you just can't lose that. Paul evidently didn't know that because he's talking to Christians, is he not? And he's saying, if you choose to go back into sin and you want to stay in sin and you want sin to be your master, he said, you can have that, but the end result of that is death. He's not talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual death. But here's the good news. We have a choice. We have the power through Jesus Christ to say no. Well, how come I say no sometimes and I still fall? Well, my own experience has been because when I said no, I didn't really mean it. I just said it to sound good. No, get behind me in the name of Jesus. Get behind me. And I did it anyway. I had to come to an honest conclusion. It's because I wanted to. I want to put my will up above God's. I know your word says, but this is what I want to do. Doesn't work that way. I have a lot of bad dreams, and they say it's my PTSD. And they always have excuses for stuff, but I have dreams where I'm tempted to do vile things. And I was dreaming that the other night, and I heard his voice behind me. And don't think I'm way out here in left field. But the voice said, I am the Lord who makes you holy. Oh boy, you talk about strength. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And I woke up and I was so happy. I said, thank you, Father, for reminding me that. When I struggle with temptation now, that is stuck with me. I am the Lord who makes you holy. Yeah. I am the Lord who empowers you to say no to sin. I'm the one that killed that old person so you could be a new person in Christ. No wonder they call the gospel the good news. You don't have to be bound anymore. I know what it's like to do things and you don't know why you do them. And if somebody asks you, you could honestly say, I don't know. Paul dealt with that in Romans 7. He said, the good things I wanted to do, I didn't do. The evil I didn't want to do, that's what I did. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Thank God. Paul said, through Jesus Christ, my body still may be subject to the law of sin and death, but with my heart I can serve God. That's where he wants us, church. Am I saying that you can be perfect and never make any more mistakes or never sin again? That's not what I'm trying to tell you. But what I'm trying to tell you is what Paul was trying to tell the church. Don't get caught up in that false teaching that you have to sin. There's just nothing you can do about it. Jesus Christ paid it all. We sang that today. He paid all of it. And he's empowered you and I as believers to say no. Do you believe you're a new creation in Christ Jesus? If you don't, then you need to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. You need to call out on him and say, God, save me. Well, I don't do that little sinner's prayer thing. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I think a true sinner's prayer is going to come out of anybody's heart that is sincere because of the conviction of the Spirit of God that comes upon you. You're going to know who you are and what you are. And you're really going to mean it when you call out to him. You're going to say, God, please have mercy on me. You saved me. I can't save myself. But once he saves you, he makes you a new person. He wipes the slate clean. Everything that we've done was nailed to that tree. And now God says, now, you say no. It's your choice. Theologians call that being restored to the original righteousness that Adam and Eve had. Take it or leave it. All they had to do was say no. When the servant said, why don't you try that fruit? No. Get out of here. We have the power in Christ. We are so connected to Jesus Christ. It's not a euphemism. It's not a metaphor. It's not a figure of speech. We are literally joined to Jesus Christ. And we are a new creation in Christ if we've come to Christ. And He empowers us and commands us just to say no. It's your choice. Would you stand with me this morning? If you might be here this morning and say, I don't know that I ever have really called on the name of the Lord. Well, don't leave here without doing it. I'll always hang around here. If you need to talk with me after church, let's sit down and talk. I can't save you. You know, I can't do that. But if you're serious about it, well, let's talk. I can tell you what the Word says. And I can guarantee you that if you're sincere and you call out to Him, God said, I will answer you. I will save you. Yeah. If you're a believer and you're away from Christ, and a lot of us, boy, in the last 40 years, I've done that several times. I told you I was in a bar in Oshkosh, Wisconsin 20, 30 years ago, drinking beers and shots, feeling sorry for me. Running from my problems, running from my past, and a Christian came in there. It's like, God, you even hang around in bars? You know, I'm sitting there trying to drown my sorrows, and this Christian come up and put his arm around and said, you just need to go back to the cross, brother. I never forgot that. If you're here today and you have made that profession of faith in Christ and you have been baptized into Christ and dedicated your life to Him, and you're away from Him, He's waiting right where you left Him. You just need to go back to the cross. The Bible says He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess them and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if there's something you need to do today, whatever it is you need to do, why don't you do it? Don't wait. Don't think about it like that song we sang. Don't be almost persuaded. Do it. And God promises that He will hear you, He will heal you, and He will forgive you. Yes.